KSLZradio.com/Federal Drive.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Chief Information Officer. Luke, it's finally great to have you come on the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
I know we've been trying to get you on for quite a while, so now that you're here, let's start with some basics. I always like to ask about the mission of the agency for this, that the CIO works for. I always learn a lot. It seems for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, it'd be a very logical mission, very easy to understand. But give us a little bit, because I always, as I said, find that there's always more to it than meets the eye.
Well, there's a lot to ICE, and just a couple things I want to say. One, ICE is a law enforcement agency. It's the second largest law enforcement agency in the federal government. Approximately 20,000 employees, about 15,000 of those are sworn law enforcement officers. Four goals in ICE: preventing terrorism, enhanced security, protecting borders from illicit trade, travel, and finance. Third is protecting borders through smart and tough interior immigration enforcement. And fourth is to manage efficient and effective agency.
So there's a couple of keywords in there that say, well, it seems like you're very similar to Customs and Border Protection, CBP. Obviously, you probably work closely with them, but obviously you both have two separate missions, two separate goals.
Yeah, we're really the criminal investigative arm of Department of Homeland Security, focusing on interior enforcement.
And obviously, you make up of when Homeland Security was brought together back in 2003, you brought up the old Immigration and Naturalization Service among some of the other agencies. You are the CIO of ICE, obviously. What is your job to support ICE's mission? Tell me a little bit about your day-to-day activities.
My entire role is to enable those four goals, anywhere from pursuing transnational crimes, where we're trying to take down multinational organizations, which is something that ICE prides itself on, trying to really focus on the networks of these criminal endeavors as opposed to the individuals. Any types of automated tools to make that happen, that's my role, is to implement any kind of capability that we can further those goals.
Like most CIOs, you probably have a strategic side. You have an operational side. Where do you see yourself fitting in?
Well, I'll have a mixed answer to that. One, as I stated earlier, you know, ICE is a law enforcement agency. We have we're very operational, and we're very focused. We have a large and complex operation, again, 20,000 employees. We have about 30,000 beds that we maintain at any given time. We have a population of folks that we have to give medical services to, et cetera, while we look to deport those from the United States. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of complex investigations that are going on, et cetera. So we spend a lot of time working on the operational aspects of that and enabling those goals that I talked about. There is certainly a strategic side as a CIO. I'm always trying to look forward and look at different ways to construct and reconstruct my organization to meet the current goals and anticipated goals.
So you're worried about the back-end infrastructure, the network, the phone systems, the telecommunication systems, the data networks, the storage. But I imagine you also have a role in terms of the technology that's used in the field as well. Do you play in both of those areas?
Very much so. So, you know, every CIO has a fiduciary responsibility to focus on the back-end. The email systems, the data center services, the networks, et cetera. And you know, our population, like many, are getting to the point where they just expect that to happen, right? They expect the light to turn on when they turn the light on. They expect their computer to turn on. They expect their email to work consistently. And being, again, a very operational organization, we have very high integrity on those systems because we have a lot of officer safety type issues, et cetera. So that's a given. And I don't want to minimize that because I come from the infrastructure environment, so I know how hard that is to maintain those systems and evolve those systems, et cetera. Where we focus a lot of our attention is embedded with the customers, really understanding their operational needs so that we give them good business applications to further enhance those goals that I talked about earlier. So a lot of time is spent working with our customers and trying to understand exactly what it's going to take to manage the bed space, exactly what type of analytical tools they need to do their complex investigations, and trying to bring technology into that environment to further those missions.
I want to talk a little bit about the working with the employees in the field. But before I do that, let me ask you kind of something that occurred to me. When you talk about one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the government, when you talk about getting the right analysis tools, right enforcement tools to the employees in the field, the law enforcement officers. Is there any kind of, or would you work closely with some of the other law enforcement CIOs, the U.S. Marshal Service, the Secret Service, FBI, for instance, in terms of sharing tools, sharing best practices? Is that something that is developing, has developed? Because I know there's been a big focus on, for instance, information sharing, but what about the technology sharing?
Absolutely. There's a lot of work that goes on. Obviously, naturally, within the department, there's a whole lot of work that goes on, collaboration, different types of lessons learned and sharing of information about different types of tool sets, et cetera. But across the community, I reach out to the FBI and various parts of the FBI and other various parts of DOJ. We have a very integrated operational nexus with those agencies, DEA, different aspects, again, of the FBI, the Marshal Service, et cetera. And we're always sharing information about different types of tools and capabilities, and a lot of times joint ventures that we're doing where we're building things together in order to further our missions.
All right, maybe we'll get into some of that when we talk about your priorities. But let me also talk about the makeup of your office. I always find it interesting to find out how many federal employees you have versus number of contractors to support technology. What is your IT budget for 2011?
The makeup of our office is we're very heavily leveraged in regards to vendor support. Like a lot of agencies are, we have about 380 federal employees. We're about a, 30-70, 25-75 mix. We're actually looking to balance that out a little bit more. Currently, that's one of the initiatives that we have underway where we're looking to give more oversight capability to the vendor community so that we can make sure we have a good mix there. Budget is about $600 million. About two-thirds of that are our operating budget. The rest of it is development and enhancements.
I know that Homeland Security Department CIO Richard Spires has taken a big look at that balancing between the contractor workforce and the federal employees. That seems to be kind of trickling down throughout the components. Is that what's happening? Is that where that's coming from? Or is it just more of a natural evolution where Homeland Security had to, as a department, had to reach out for a lot of contractor support early on, and now the evolution is kind of coming back to where you're bringing more people back in-house?
Well, there's an initiative under the department to go through and sort of scrub a look at all of our services that we're acquiring and make sure that we have a good balanced workforce. We're doing that innately because it's the right thing to do, right? I think as we work with the vendor community and we talk to them about this all the time, they want to see a strong federal workforce. They want to make sure that they have a good project management team in place, a project management team that they can escalate issues to, that they can get decisions made, et cetera. And so it just makes sense for us to do that for a lot of different reasons. And as we start to evolve our organization into this new model that we're pursuing, a lot of that requires a more balanced workforce. Not so much to do the hands-on type of work, but really have the proper federal oversight to make sure that the projects go smoothly.
Do you have any goals in terms of, would you like to see a 50-50 split, something closer to 65-35?
I'm not really sure. I haven't really put a marker out there because I think I maybe somewhere around 50-50, maybe a little bit less than that. It really depends a lot of times on the type of work that we're doing. Some cases we spike up because there's a lot of activity going on in a development area, which would spike up a lot of activity on the contract side. But you do need to complement that with federal workforce, but you might not spike up the workforce quite as much depending on the type of work that's being done. As we go to this new model, we're going to see how we're going to calibrate that, because as we get into buying infrastructure services by the drink and some of those types of things and some of these other things I'm sure I'll mention here in a minute, some of that becomes a commodity. You do have to balance the workforce so that you can manage that work, but it's a different kind of workforce that's doing that. And you don't have as many projects where I'm working on several different things in a data center as far as implementing it. If I'm buying a data center experience, so to speak, I'm probably simplifying that too much. So we have to be careful about just sort of putting a marker out there and saying, okay, when we get to 50-50, we're done. It's more about more of a calibrated look at, where we're going and deciding how much of a balanced workforce do we need in this new environment that we're going to put ourselves into.
All right, very nice. And let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Luke McCormick, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Luke McCormick, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Chief Information Officer. Now, Luke, before break, we talked a little bit about how you support the mission of ICE. You talked a little bit about your makeup of your office, and the fact is you're trying to bring that ratio a little closer together between the number of federal employees and contractors. Let's talk about some of your priorities. You gave us a little bit of a glimpse, but what are you trying to get done over the next 6 to 9 to 12 months?
There's actually several items that we're trying to pursue. One is we're in the middle of consolidating our data centers at the department. I'm sure that most of your listeners have heard that. We're right in the throes of that, should have that done by the end of the year. Another big area that we're focusing our attention on internally is governance. We've put together a governance structure so that we have much more closer to the ground type governance, I'd like to call it, where we're segmenting that by business area within ICE and allowing much more interaction about decision-making authority on the various projects. The other one, of course, is our human capital. We're always focused on our human capital and trying to go to this new model that we want to talk about, which is where we're trying to transform our agency to really holistically adopt a 25-point plan.
All right. A couple things there I want to follow up with on. Let's start with the data center consolidation. As you said, something that's going on across government, but Homeland Security was a little bit out in front of most of the other agencies. Talk a little bit about that. This is the OneNet data center consolidation, that's the department-wide one, or are you looking at one specifically that ICE is consolidating around?
No, this is part of the department's consolidation effort, and I think it's really important. ICE took quite a big jump there. We not only went into consolidating into the data centers, but we actually went into more of a private cloud environment into that data center. So we've taking kind of two steps at the same time, where we're coming out of these legacy data centers into the consolidated data centers, but we're buying that as a service as opposed to a sort of a private cloud service, as opposed to buying boxes and just sort of plunking them in there and having a yellow ribbon around it that says ICE on it. It's part of a more of a commodity type of service.
Was that a tough move for you as CIO to go into that private cloud, or because it was controlled by DHS, run by DHS, it was a pretty easy switch?
Well, it's a cultural shift, right? And I think some of your listeners may have seen that survey out there where people were concerned about going into these environments, and they assumed that the biggest concern was going to be security, and really what they found out is it's more of a culture issue. So that's where the new federal employee comes into play, right? Because we need people that are really good at SLA management, vendor management. We are co-managing that environment with the department and the vendor, because, of course, that's an outsourced environment at the department. And, it was a bit of an aggressive jump, but I felt it was important because once we get into that type of environment, then we can get into dynamic computing, so to speak. And no longer do we have to go through an entire procurement to buy a box and engineer it and implement it, buy licenses. We can just buy that computing capability almost by the drink. And that's very powerful capability for us to be able to do that.
I know you're still in the middle of it. You said it would be done later this year. Do you foresee huge savings for ICE specifically, not just across DHS? And what other benefits are you hoping or expecting?
We expect to see competitive pricing, and that's one of the things that we're working very closely with the department on, because we want to make sure that when we going into this environment that we're benchmarking those costs and that we stay competitive. So there's a lot of work going on within the department and within our own organization to make sure that's happening. One of the huge benefits is time to market, which is what I just described earlier. As we examine, our projects and how we're going to do projects in the future, we want to make sure that that dynamic capability is available to us, because we want to be sure to have very short time to market time frames that we're implementing these types of capabilities to our operators. Again, you talked about a very operational organization. We want to make sure that we find ways, and we think this is one of them, to implement things very quickly, and we think this dynamic capability is going to allow us to do that.
This obviously moves right into the 25-point plan that OMB, Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, is asking agencies to implement. There's other many different pieces of that. Cloud-first policy is the big one I think a lot of agencies are focusing on. Is that where you're focusing first, or are you looking at other areas as well?
Well, Jason, I'm so glad you asked the question. I think, and I worked very closely with Richard and some of the SAGE group members over the summer as that whole plan was being put together. I see the 25-point plan as an ecosystem, right? I don't think there's any one piece of that that works, and I think you have to have them all to really transform your environment, which is really what we're focused on. So it's cloud first, right? We're all over that. We want to make that happen sooner rather than later. It's transforming the skills of your organization, as I talked about earlier, SLA management, smart buyer, vendor management, those types of things. It's also transforming your acquisition community, so to speak, and working very closely with those folks to come up with dynamic ways to acquire things. Okay, so we solved the data center piece, but we still have the software development pieces, et cetera, that need to be put into play. And so that's a whole environment that we're working on. You also have the dynamic budgeting. That's I don't want to say an oxymoron, but, putting yourself in a situation where you can budget by portfolio, and I think that's very important. We're working very close with our CFO and the IT community at large to do that. And I think the other piece is the governance and the reach out to the customer. We want to have on-the-ground, real-time requirements coming from our customers. We want close-to-the-ground governance so that they can make the decisions dynamically about what's important from an operations standpoint. And then we want to have this back-end ecosystem so that we can dynamically acquire that, whether it's the software development or the infrastructure behind that, so that we can implement that very quickly. So there's multiple pieces here that have to be put together. And if you think about all those different things, that's a 25-point plan in a more of a composite view. So we're looking at this as several different activities going on to be transformed or reformed, if you will, in order to get us into that new state.
One of the things you mentioned when you talked about the 25-point plan was the role the CFO has to play, the role that the acquisition workforce has to play, the role that the program management or the mission people have to play. How are you bringing those people in? I know this is all about the governance, and this is what maybe it goes back to as well, but how are you bringing those people in to make sure that they're on board with the 25-point plan, they understand the plan, and they're helping you as the CIO implement the plan?
We've been working very closely with our partners over the last few months as this process was being cooked through the summer, right? And bringing them on board and actually helping us frame some of the ideas about, okay, what do we need to do in the acquisition area? What do we need to do in the human capital area? What do we need to do in the budget area? So I was continually consulting with them and getting information from them about the different ways to do this and what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. So they've bought into this concept. Certainly our senior management has bought into this. And really the bell ringer as far as our senior management is concerned is this enables the mission in a more agile environment. So we have partnerships with those folks. We're putting together a storyline and sort of this storyboard. As a matter of fact, you see it right up there on the board as you're in my office here. You can see us sort of thinking through and sort of dashboarding these different activities. And so the idea behind that is so that as each individual that is part of this solution could see that, they can recognize that they're a piece of this overall solution, and we feel like they'll be more invested if they see the whole picture, the whole ecosystem, and what their role is in that piece, whether it's HR, whether it's the acquisition strategy, whether it's the budget strategy.
I think that sometimes gets lost in the discussion point of getting people involved, see their role, understanding where they take ownership. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the 25-point plan. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Luke McCormick, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Chief Information Officer. Now, Luke, before break, we were talking a lot about the 25-point plan, and one of the things that you mentioned was obviously cloud first, and you guys are doing some specific cloud implementations around data centers. Are you also looking at things like email or collaboration or even storage or web hosting? Where are you going down that path of cloud implementation?
Well, I'll speak on behalf of the department here, if I may, because this is really a departmental initiative that we're all involved in. As far as web content and sort of web-facing stuff, we're doing that now. We're partnering with GSA to implement that, and we're planning on buying that as a service. We're already starting to do some of that at the department. We'll be migrating our environment into that. Email as a service is another one where we'll be sort of a private cloud type of environment. SharePoint as a service is another one that we're looking into. What we'll be doing that. All of our back-end infrastructure is going to be bought by a service. So our file servers and our storage, where again, we sort of leapfrogged into that right out of the box as we're consolidating. So that'll be as a service. Going forward from there, you know, there's an opportunity in some of these various areas, our financial systems, et cetera, where we now have an opportunity to look at possibly doing some of those as a service as well. And so we'll definitely be examining those as the needs arise.
I know that there's a lot of pressure coming from OMB for agencies to get one done in the first year, two more done in the next 18 months. Obviously, you guys are a little bit ahead, but you're doing it from a department level. Is there anything that specifically ICE is saying, here's where we need to go next? Or because it's so ingrained in the department-wide effort that you're kind of a part of that?
We're, I would say, part of the lead. You know, certainly the department is adopting this as a concept, an underlying concept overall. We're leapfrogging into it, and I would say we're probably one of the front runners within the department in adopting this capability. It's a little dynamic, and it's perhaps a slightly bold move because we need to make sure that we're managing that properly and we have good project management and, again, good vendor management. But we really feel like it's a strategic way to go. And so we stepped into it hard, and we're helping the department blaze a trail in this environment. So where we saw, you know, one or two, where we're saying, no, we're going to put our whole environment into that. And we're going to do it carefully, but we're going to do it sooner rather than later because we feel like that's the right thing to do.
One of the other areas, not necessarily part of the 25-point plan per se, but one of the big areas is around mobile. When you talked about the number of employees you have in the law enforcement, I'm sure, are you seeing a big push, a big request for mobile devices, mobile applications, mobile services?
We do. We have deployed a variety of mobile capability, particularly our operators are always interested in the mobile capability in regards to somewhat what they have on their desktop. Obviously, everyone has mail, et cetera. But more importantly, in the areas of where we're doing fingerprint identification, we used to have these environments where we would do these operations where we would be identifying these folks or apprehending them in the field. We'd have to bring them into the brick and mortar and do the identification, do the booking, enrollment, et cetera. We now have that capability to do that remotely where from a mobile platform where we can not only identify the victim through fingerprints, et cetera, and using the biometric system, but also actually book them and enroll them into our case management system.
Let me shift over again. Vendors often want to come and talk to you, I'm sure, want to find out what you're doing. You have a nice size IT budget, as you said, about $600 million. What should vendors know about working with your office?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One is when I first came to ICE, one of the things that I noticed that we're continuing to try to improve on is we didn't do a lot of outreach as far as the vendor community for a variety of reasons. And I think the Mythbusters, you know, had our name written all over it. So we're really trying to embrace that capability and do a lot more outreach and interaction with the vendor. So I think one of the first message is you're going to see more outreach from ICE. Now, we have to be careful about that, and we have to be calculated because this can be very time-consuming, right? I think the second thing is you've heard today, well, we're transforming our organization. And one of the areas that I probably didn't touch on and should have is in the area of how we're going to ask for services in the future. Yes, we're going to this dynamic capability, but I can tell you one of the things that we're not going to do in the future, we're not going to ask for battleships anymore. We're going to ask for cigarette boats. And so we're not going to build battleships anymore. We're going to build, you know, this is this small, agile, quick time to market type of environment that we're going to get in ourselves. So we want our vendor community, large and small, to position themselves and kind of know over time that's how you're going to see the ask come out of this agency is more small, refined, very calculated, so that we can have that time to market that we're so interested in having. The other one is the balanced workforce. I just want to encourage the vendor community and those out there that might be interested to coming to work for ICE that we are an IT organization on the move. We're an agency that's on the move, and we're transforming into this new environment. And when we do that, we'll have this more balanced capability so that we can have real-time decision capability available and good, proper oversight of our services that we're acquiring, regardless if it's infrastructure, software development, or anything else that we're buying, including, you know, capability as a service.
And do most of your solicitations, are you going through the DHS Eagle or First Source vehicle, or is it mixed?
It's a mixed. Obviously, we're a large user on Eagle, and we plan on doing that with Eagle, too. We have some stuff out there on Alliant. We have some stuff out there on Schedule 70.
Very good. So don't blame me if you start getting lots of calls from vendors or people who want to come have you speak at their events. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about yourself. How long have you been CIO here at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and what other jobs have you held inside or outside of government?
Started my career in the private sector, in the telecommunications sector, actually MCI, and then went over to Ford Aerospace and worked a little bit in the Intel community and another private company. So I spent some time in a private sector, a few years, and then came into federal service at what was then Legacy Customs and then Customs and Border Protection. I've been over here as the CIO for just about 6 years now, and love every minute of it. Love the mission and looking forward to continuing to enable the operation here at ICE.
Very nice. On that note, we'll say thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Chief Information Officer. Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates, www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com. Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Gene Sexton is the Deputy Chief Human Capital Officer at the Labor Department.
Getting away from those KSA essays, which that was the hard part, has taken the whole hiring process from a writing exercise with reams of paper to one where you have verifiable data, such as resumes and transcripts and other types of documentation that can be verified or not verified. And you get a more quality recruit when you can have that kind of documentation.
Hear the entire interview online.